Anakin! I loved you!
Hey kids! Welcome to Monster of the Week! It's yet another week of old school magic. This week we'll be talking about pre-modern again. And we'll be heading into... tune in, tune out, and whatever. Lean back. This is Constructing Old School Magic, Monster of the Week.
Yeah, this is how we chill from 93-2.
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 Hit it, Anton. Are you there, Anton?
I'm here, Seb. What's up?
Well, I don't know what's up. It's pre-modern. What's up?
Yeah.
You tell me what's up. It's your job to tell me what's up.
Do you remember when we talked about the fourth rule of pre-modern?
I don't remember any rules in pre-modern. I remember magic rules and different deck types.
Okay. Way, way back, we did a Doomsday episode with Anthony Harrison. And the fourth rule of pre-modern is the Harrison rule. And you asked me back then, I don't even know, like, what's the first rule of pre-modern? Yeah. But today, we're revealing the first, second, and third rule of pre-modern, Seb.
And not any of them are, you never talk about pre-modern.
No.
Okay, good. So it's not Fight Club related.
And it's very Fight Club related. That's why there's three rules. So you need to ask the question.
What's the first rule of pre-modern?
You do not play hatred.
Okay.
And what's the second rule of pre-modern?
Okay. So what's the second rule of pre-modern?
You do not play hatred.
Mm-hmm. And the third rule is...
you do not play hatred, even a sideboard card.
Okay.
Because there's always one guy who's like, maybe we can squeeze in one in the sideboard as a wish target or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate everyone who brews and plays all kind of cool cards in pre-modern. But hatred is the one card that I really think it sucks. And like... Any deck with hatred is better without hatred. And
it sounds like you're making up these rules.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
So you're the Tyler Durden here?
I'm not sure. However, some maniac named Mike Arnold, he came up with an iteration of pre-modern. As one does each year, he provides some different iterations of pre-modern tournaments. He did this combo winter thing, where he broke the first, second, and third rule of pre-modern playing hatred. So, naturally, we have to put Mike Arnold on once again. Mm. Welcome back to Monster of the Week, Mike.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Good to have you on.
Or I should say, I hate to be here.
Yeah. Oh, it's been more of like an inside joke, this first, second, and third rule of pre-modern, and Mike has always been adamant to like prove me wrong or prove the community wrong that hatred is playable.
Yeah, I did play it in a monthly this past year, just in a normal pre-modern. I had like Lake of the Dead to help, turbo it out, and I joked, with Anton that I, should start like a hit list of, in pre-modern of the people that I've been able to hatred kill. I actually got like a game off of Rich Shea on his, pre-Lantax ban Parfait.
Ooh.
And also, one of the great in-bosses of pre-modern, James Smits. I got both a game win with hatred and the match win on there.
By actually casting the card hatred or just having him in your...
By actually casting the card hatred. So... Yeah.
That is sweet.
Only went 3-3 in the monthly, so I think that's also Anton's record when he ran hatred, that he had it stuck in his hand the whole time whenever he drew it. So hence the hatred for hatred.
Yeah. No, but it's a fun card. Should we read it out? What does hatred do, Michael, for the listeners who doesn't know the card?
Yeah, it's 3BB for an instant, and as an additional cost to play it, you have to pay X life, and target creature gets +X +0 until end of turn.
Oh.
So it's Channel Fireball all on one card.
Yeah. In a format that has, like, insane amount of spot removals and counter spells.
Yes.
Yeah,
and bringing it into a format now which can now play Force of Will, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. So, we're here to talk about, obviously, Hatred, but also your organizer role in these online events you do each year, Mike. This year you did Combo Winter, but you have done other iterations earlier years. You want to...
Yeah, so there was a similar event that ran back in the spring. We normally do a double elimination tournament around the Fall Brawl and the Spring Fling times. So last summer, BK had done his Necro Summer, which, you know, allowed certain number of players to be able to bring a deck with up to four copies of Necro. And there were some, you know, kind of talkings at the time of doing a Combo Winter, you know, something where you could bring something broken. So what basically did with this format with Combo Winter and also the double elimination before is that you could take one card from the ban list, select any one card that you wanted, and you could run up to four copies in your deck. So kind of a custom ban list right here. And so it's supposed to, you know, just allow everyone that opportunity to be able to do something really, you know, twisted and broken. But you also have to go up against other people who are doing the same thing. So everyone is kind of on this, even playing field. But it's a lot more degenerate in terms of the gameplay. Kind of like, you know, not on the same level, but it's kind of like how Vintage is, or like a no banless Modern. That's another format, you know, which is out there. So you get some broken plays, but you get to take turns, you know, doing the broken things.
But Vintage has restricted cards at least, so.
Yes.
Yeah. This tournament obviously caught my eye, and I also attended because, when you get the opportunity to choose from all these Vintage staples, basically, is what it is. Then you have to play, right?
Some of the most broken cards, you know, in the history of Magic are from, you know, this era, particularly, you know, the Tempest block and Urza's block, especially. You know, as much talk as there's been about fire design ruining Magic the last couple of years, I mean, if you played through actual Combo Winter of 1998 to 1999, you know just how crazy, you know, things can go if R&D doesn't reel things in a little bit. So yeah, you could choose to play up to four copies of Tolarian Academy, or you could get four copies of Mana Vault, Yawgmoth's Will, anything. It's all on the table.
But that was fun because, like, when I started brewing for this tournament, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go Tendrils. And then it really doesn't work with other, you still need a Bargain or Necro or something. And then looking like into all the other brokers, like Yawgmoth's Will obviously is insane, but like if you want to go combo, it's like, well, you do lack some sort of other stuff. And it's quite interesting take of a pre-modern iteration to just allow one ban card. It's a very fun experiment.
Yeah, so this time around, I wish we had a lot of some more people, you know, going for, you know, trying to push the boundaries. And I think a lot more people were trying to play Fun Police rather than actually trying to go out and break something. We had Force of Will was the most common Lichos card. So four people right there. And I do have an incomplete list because I had like the Google form submissions, but then I had a couple people, you know, private message me. So I'm just going off of the Google forms. But there was at least four people, and I do want to say there was a fifth who chose Force of Will for that. And we did see it like at a couple different shells. Lanny Wong, who ended up taking second, he played it in Grotog. We also had Andy Culpepper just jam Force of Will and Stasis. And then the most commonly, one was Stifle Knot. I do want to also shout out someone did Frantic Storm with Force of Will, which is pretty sweet.
You mentioning Fun Police made me think like more Meddling Mages and stuff like that. Like, but no, None of those types of decks, I guess, but Force Will.
Yeah, there
Stasis
was a couple.
Being a very own fun police in other sets, I guess.
Yeah, there's at least two Melee Mage decks that I know. Lenny Wong, you know, with Grotog, was running four copies. And then Maxim Belliger, he was running Blue-White Stifelknot with Force of Will, and of course the Medley Mage right there. But
it feels like Stifelknot is the fun police because it plays like Stifle and Daces and Force of Wills or Foils or Brainstorms or whatever. Like it has Vision Charms. It can really, really interact with all the combo decks. That is obviously like the whole premise of this tournament. Like combo winter, come on, you need to play combo.
You need to max it out. That's just what you guys feel, but I think you two have different approaches to going that route. And I, just for me, I don't really see those types of decks that's, well, they're more tempo. They're going their own route, I'd say. But maybe that's Fun Police in a sense. Fun Police is usually also Sly is in a sense is Fun Police. Goblins now in might also be that, I guess, because it's a quick tempo deck that just like, okay, deal with this. But
they're
having Force of Will in a
machines.
Yeah. But also the Fun Police can be, I guess, in Legacy and stuff like that, it's Death and Taxes, whatever. But did we see any more restricting type of decks, except for Stasis then?
There was that. I mean, Anton can give us a rundown of what he ran because he was running Talarian Academy, but he was playing it very fairly. There was no, you know, crazy combo with it.
Yeah, so I spent an unhealthy amount of working hours trying to brew this format. Landed on Talarian Academy in the end because I couldn't figure out Tendrils good enough, or I couldn't figure out any like spell-based combo that I was like feeling this will be it because I'm expecting now Force of Will and like whatever. So Talarian Academy, but Prison Route. But to make it more fun, in let's add Future Sight. And make it a like basically Winter Orb Mishra's Factory lockdown deck where we can only untap one land each turn. Well, I get to untap the land that taps for 9 mana.
That's
which
a
means,
neat take, also.
Yeah. So I added a capsize, so I could capsize lock out the opponent, basically, and buy back it every time I play it, and just play cards from the top of my library. So that was a fun deck. Obviously, I had to try out some weird cards because, like, initially it was like 80 cards, and I had to cut it down to 60. So in hindsight, I know what I want to make some changes in the deck, but like the concept actually was pretty bonkers.
What turbo mana did you play, or did you end up playing baubles and stuff like that also to enable those?
No, I did want to play Jeweled Amulet as a zero casting cost ramp artifact, but I they were like the card 61 to 63, so I cut them, and I had like Mindstone, Thran Dynamo. I don't remember. I had like Cursed Scroll to in case there was because you need like cheap artifact that does something, and you don't and you want to empty your hand. So
I
had like Mox
one
Mox Diamond and stuff like
that. So but it doesn't sound like you could like play everything turn one in that.
No, you couldn't. Yeah. But you have like the Soul Lands, you have the Academy, you have Black Vice, you have Mindstone, Cursed Scroll, and Mox Diamonds or whatever, so you had some sheep, and then you go up on the curve to like Tango Wires, Amateur's Factory, and I had Tinker as well to find. Yeah.
I do want to point out the sick interaction between Academy and Sphere of Resistance specifically.
Yeah.
Because Sphere of Resistance taxes everyone, you know, an additional mana for their spells. Yeah. With Talarian Academy, once you play a Sphere, well, you get another mana off of your land. So
it's a freebie.
I think Anton got like 3 spheres down on me, you know, with an academy, and like just good luck, you know, right there because he's not.
Yeah, I really, really managed to do the capsize lock versus you in one game. I still lost the match. It was a close one, but like 1-2.
What was your? Did you mention your wing con in the
Black Vice?
Okay, just Vice. Okay.
Yeah, I think... no, I had one for XM processor as well, just in case you needed... you wanted to go combat route.
Yeah, processor is kind of neat in a sense. I guess... I don't know if there are any mid-range decks. It doesn't sound like it, but...
No, but that's the weird part. Like, normally you want... I don't know, pyroclasm effect or whatever, but like not expecting elves. Obviously, goblins will happen with food chain. You will have to talk us through that one as well, Arnold. But like the expected meta was basically people will try out broken stuff, or people will just add like force wheel of brainstorm into the, like the known archetypes already. But yeah.
You're feeling strong, my friend. Call me elf. One more time. He's an angry elf.
Did anyone try out like balancing things or anything like that? Like with.
So with actual balance, there was one person who brought balance for this league. Balance did win the double elimination in the spring fling. That was Ricardo Barros. And but it wasn't like an aggro, you know, type of balancing things or anything like that. It was just a lot of, you know, ways to be able to empty his hand, Mox Diamond, Urza's Bauble, you know, Sylvan Library, and then he'd just balance you into the dirt and, you know, with a
like a
racks.
Mind twist more, something like that.
Threat.
Yeah,
he just wrath you and everything, and it was very, very well designed deck. But we only saw one balanced deck this time around, and. Not much else. We did have two bargain decks, one of which did advance right there. I'm glad that Galen LeMay did bring that one because in the previous tournament, he had just pretty much taken his old list and went right with it. And but then you realize, hey, you're operating under the current ban list and rules. And so he had a show and tell into his deck this time. And I do know that he got a couple, at least one turn one kill. And a sweet one where he just blind named, you know, a therapy draft for Force of Will and was able to get the bargain and win off that. And I do believe a handful of turn two kills.
Yeah, that's a strong deck, man.
Yeah, we didn't have that in Premodern since Show and Tell was introduced after, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
So that's cool.
The deck obviously plays Burning Wish, so like having a Show and Tell and as a wish target is pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. That was a scary deck. I'm glad that I didn't have to face that in the finals right there. But that was it. And you mentioned goblins before, and I believe just two people brought Goblin Recruiter, and both of them made top eight.
Oh, both did. Shit.
So that is a very strong,
a good card, deck. A good strong deck.
Yeah, when you give an already solid deck the option of a turn two, you know, turn three combo kill. Turns out it's pretty good.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Because the way this played out, was it four pods or how many pods?
So we had four pods, and so three pods with six players, and then us, you know, playing in the European time, we had five players with us. Good turnout. And otherwise, I think we had a pretty diverse type of meta that was going on. And as far as like the top eight breakdown, there was myself with Suicide Black and Lanny Wong, already mentioned, with Grotog. We had Galen LeMay with Bargain. And then we had our two Goblins players. We had Matt Perlman, who brought his trusty pink weenie deck with Lantax Scroll Rack.
So,
a deck that was, you know, just 100% legal this time last year. And that's what he brought to the tournament. And we also had, I don't know how you pronounce his name. I'll just go with Jay right there. But he was on a Dead Guy Ale with Necro. He had a really sweet list because he had both Mox Diamond and then Weathered Wayfarer for his mana fixing.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
So he had a couple different engines that were available to him. And he did quite well with that deck, did 4-2 in the pod and that advanced. But Yeah, it was out on round one. And then our final one being Gabe Farkas on Channel Fireball. Technically Channel Torch, but Channel Fireball sounds much cooler.
Yeah, but he had Prosperity and Vice as well as like an alternative, not just Fireball. So yeah, I did think he really found something there.
Yeah,
what's his angle you're mentioning? Like how does he... Because there's no Lotus Sister, no Moxon or whatever, but it's enough still, or...
Yeah, I mean, you have Lotus Petals, and he also had Wall of Roots for extra mana, and then also Tinder Wall, which is a...
Right. Yeah, clear. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, good old...
It had Elvish Spirit Guide.
Yeah, it was... Yeah.
Elvish Spirit Guide, of course. Yeah. And so, yeah, his plan was just to, do a channel into a Karavax Torch. Or you would channel into like a Prosperity, and then with after drawing all those cards off of Prosperity, you could play a couple Black Vices, and then we just drew 15 cards. Here's two Black Vices.
Yeah, insane. But we missed out on the card you played. You said Suicide Black Hatred, obviously. But what was your banned card?
And I was running four Demonic Consultations here. So this is a throwback to one of Dave Price's lists that he brought to a Grand Prix bracket in 1999, and I ran almost the exact 60. When I started pre-modern, this was like the only deck which I still had like perfectly intact from back in the day. So you just got 16 Swamps, 4 City Traders for your lands right there. You've got, of course, Dark Ritual, 4 Duress, 4 Unmasks, 4 Sarcomancies, 4 Carnophages. I've got 4 Dothi Horrors. I did... The original, like Dave Price had list, had 4 Dothi Slayers. I broke those up between Slayers and Skittering Scourge, just because Skittering Scourge gives an extra power, and I didn't expect many other creatures. 4 Negators to round out the creature suite, and then you've got 4 Demonic Consultation and 4 Hatred.
Yeah, it's turns out to be quite volatile deck, and Demonic Consultation was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of the most broken cards, I think, that's on the ban list. And I've heard multiple people, when they've kind of like come into pre-modern, like, oh, do you really have to ban Demonic Consultation? And the answer is yes. Yes, you definitely do. And go into like my philosophy on how you kind of approach this format. Because when I also played a mono-black list in the back in the Spring Fling Double Elimination, and that was a pox list with Yawgmoth's Will. So I think it's a pretty good strategy when people are brewing up all this like craziness, just to run a lot of discard, and then to throw something a little bit unfair in there. And if we talk about the first, second, and third rules of pre-modern in here, like the reason some of these cards, which were powerhouses back in Extended or some other formats, old Legacy, and they don't see a lot of play in pre-modern. And you talk to those of us who have been playing pre-modern for a few years now, who say, oh, these cards are just bad, don't play them. Well, what's the difference here? And the difference is a lot of these cards, like Hatred, or also Pox. People drop Pox pretty early on in their rack decks. Well, they don't have the cards to be able to support them and, give them, that power that they did in these other formats. And so, if you can clog up your deck with Hatred right there, but if you have Demonic Consultation to be able to assemble all the pieces together, get that missing ritual that you didn't have, get that unmask, to protect it. Yeah, it's clear, it changes freebie. Changes it a lot.
Walk me through the play pattern, because it's a free card in a sense. You only pay one black for it. You have Dark Rituals, but you also have City of Traders, 4 of them. So it's only Hatred, Phyrexian Negator, and some, I guess, only one more card in main, right?
Do you know how good Phyrexian Negator is in this format? There's creatures. Like,
there's no Sly.
For the City of Traders, I mean, like... So
I almost beat Lanny in the finals, game one, on a mold of 4. Yeah. And my 4 card hand was Swamp, Traders, Duress, Negator.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I just I drew an Gator off the top, and I just, you know, like, set him in. And
the hatred that you, Anton, mentioning, like, is that your channel Fireball and Incense there, or, like, do you... Yeah. And if the rest death, enables it, or... And Unmask, I guess, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that Duress and Unmask, you know, will protect your combo, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, well, I think what... The reason I think Hatred is good here is because it gives the deck something unfair to do and always have that threat of activation. So you're not just always the one on the back foot, because otherwise the deck is just a bunch of, you know, 2/2s and, you know, 3-power creatures against many different decks which could potentially turn to you.
Yeah, I guess you it pushes it into the combo territory in that sense, yeah.
Correct.
But how do you usually tend to use your Demonic Consultation then? Because turn one, you have a bunch of one drops, and you can play a Dark Ritual, right? So it's just like bringing in... What do you go for? Whatever you need, I guess. Or
whatever you need, and that's the great flexibility of it. I don't think I ever consulted for a land in this tournament, but that's something which is certainly... You know, it's an upside of consultation versus a lot of the Mirage Tutors, which, you know, put some type of the non-vampiric Mirage Tutors, which put a condition on what you're getting. So that's always an upside. But yeah, you either get your creature, you get some form of disruption. I consulted a lot for my my sideboard cards.
Yeah, that's what I was also... it basically gives you four extra of whatever. And you have a lot of three ofs in your cyber also, so especially the Null Rod must have felt
pretty good in our pod.
Yeah.
Yes. Our pod, you know, was double Tolarian Academy. There was both Anton, and then there was Antoine Lemoon, French player. I apologize for any mispronunciation of names, but he was also on Academy, but he was otherwise mono brown mud.
Yeah.
With that. We had Manos Kokinis playing Devourer with Mana Vault. Yeah. And then we had good old Fluffy with Yawgmoth's Will Storm, Self-Brain Freeze. And his deck pretty much depended on Lotus Petals, Mox Diamonds, and Lion's Eye Diamonds. To be able to win. So yeah, I locked him out like on the sideboard games with either just getting a quick... Null Rod or quick Planar Void, and he was like, I should have thought that people would have interaction for my stuff.
He built the best goldfish deck there is, like like no disruption except for what, Duress basically, but turns out Null Rod is pretty good versus combo.
You might even like, especially when you're playing Dark Rituals and Zero Traders, playing against those types of decks, you might even throw the Zero Traders in the bin, I guess. You can still play out your Phyrexian Negator turn two if you would like to, if you have the Null Rod in your starting hand. Just play out the Zero Traders, play a Null Rod, then...
Yeah, turn one Null Rod, turn two Negator.
Exactly.
You go. Pretty good. But so let's be real here. How good was Hatred? Because like when we played it, it didn't make any impact, obviously. But like, how good was Hatred?
Oh yeah, like I had to side it out, you know, pretty much every single game. But the reason why, of course, is that I'm slower deck most of the time. You know, something like that just has to go. You know, you have to bring in the sideboard cards right there. And a lot of the ways it went out after that was just kind of your normal black stompy type of way.
It's
just
so weird. Looking
just discard that. you know, play some shadow guys, play my sideboard cards, and we're good to go right there. It came more into effect like in the top eight, you know, in the playoffs.
We did see, I did watch the finals, you versus Lanny, and right in my face, like Mike Arnold actually says it on cam, like, I need to cast Hatred my last turn, and like Lenny plays a Medley Mage, he's already dead on board, like he will lose in two turns regardless. He doesn't name Hatred, and Mike can cast Hatred next turn for to win one turn earlier, basically. Yeah. Didn't make any changes, but yeah, you got me, man. You got me good. It was nice to see Hatred do something.
Yeah. Also good against Gabe Farkas, you know, as I was able to take him down game one, and just as able to do a timely unmask, and then turn three, I had the consult into Ritual, I believe. So I had like the Swamp Traders for my lands. And so that was it. And just already had the Hatred in hand, consult for Ritual, and we're good to go.
God, yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet.
So like I said, these cards are, you know, which are banned. They're banned for a reason, and they make these other ones...
You ever like fizzle on a consult? Like, did you actually die on one consult, or did they always deliver?
Never actually. So I did come pretty close against Lanny in the finals. I forget what the name was, but I believe maybe it was for some like a Dothy Horror, something like that. But I had already played one of my copies. I removed two others in my next six with a consult. And the final copy was very low in the deck, and I won the game, you know, with less than 10 cards in deck.
Yeah,
but that's how it goes.
Yeah, maybe we should mention that why you probably, like in this instance, you're playing three null rods and not go too diverse, because there's always a slight chance that might happen if you still you can have a Miser Cyborg card, but yeah, or one card and look for it, I guess, but. I just want to bring it's so I like laughed a bit because you mentioned it being like you're the slower deck.
Oh yeah.
You're playing like
I can only
eight,
turn two
one drops and seven two drops and like the Gators and you play Dark Rituals. So I'm the slower deck here, so play Hatred.
Look at me.
Excuse me.
Feel this shit.
I see it.
I don't fucking deserve this shit. I paid for a first class ticket. I don't need a fucking cunt come up to me and do that shit.
That's your fault. That.
New job. You release the fucking fury. Forget about it.
Yeah, but I mean, our pod was just
combolicious.
Like, Phil went on, he went reanimate, but he instead of Entomb, he tried Vampiric Tutor.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And now he had Show and Tell as well, so he could, like, find discard outlet, reanimate outlet, or Show and Tell outlet, or a creature, of course. So, like, Vampiric Tutor obviously fits in that deck. And like monos with Alter Dementia with Mana Vault, that's like, yeah, it can actually win on turn one, basically. So yeah, cool decks all around in our pod, I thought. But,
So from what I'm hearing, creatures are good, Anton?
Surprisingly so.
Yeah.
And even a negator in that sense, since you're... You're not meeting that many sly players in this format.
No. Good read by you, Mike, for sure. But that was also nice, because I felt like Ricardo kind of broke the format last tournament with his balance deck. Like, that was insane. So it was cool that people still tried out different things, because balance is probably the most broken card, like single-handedly on the ban list.
It's pretty busted right there. So I did come prepared, you know, for that as well. I had three strong gold cabals in my in my sideboard, which for those who don't know, it's a 2/2 or 2/1 for one black, and then you can tap, pay one life, and counter any white spell. So I had those ready to go, but never boarded them in because we didn't see any balance.
And I guess like it's. Like you guys are mentioning, it's not a quote unquote real format in that sense. So then maybe you would put in the disclaimer of having, I don't know, it's still banned or at least restricted or something like that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's such a weird card. you and I played against it many a times, Anton, when playing 93-94 old school. It's such a haymaker. And are there any other cards where, like, are you missing any cards? Since we talked about this type of format earlier also, that you would like to see people build, or have you missed talking about any of them?
I can't say any one in particular, which, like, oh, you know, someone should definitely build this type of deck. I'm trying to think of here. I mean, it'd be fun to see someone bring Mystical Tutor there and go 0-6, and then...
I was so close to actually go Mystical Tutor for a replenish deck. Yeah. Like, just switch, like, add in two Mystical Tutors, so you can drop out, like, one Swords to Plowshares and one Intuition or whatever. Like, you can change the cards a little bit. But just basically good old replenish with two Mystical Tutors. But then it felt like, why? Like, if I have the opportunity to just try something completely new, like, why shouldn't I combine Future Sight with Tolarian Academy, for instance? Like,
you wanted to build something from, like, the ground up, in a sense. Yeah.
But that's the difficult part with this. Like, I'm having regrets now, because I want to do this more. I want to play this format again now that I have tried a deck, because I will obviously never play that deck again, or probably not this tournament again, because next time, if there's a next time, Arnold, I will have to try something new. But, like, you should, this is the process, right? Like, you have to play test versus actual decks within the format, so people who have actually come up with unbanned banned card, and not just try it versus elves, because elves is not a real deck in this format, for instance. Because you learn by your mistakes, and you're like, you have to drop, kill your darlings, basically, in your deck construction ideas. So, yeah.
Always, sadly. Yeah. But, so it's the winter combo, maybe next year then, Anton. Is it each winter, Michael? Or
that's what I plan to do at this point. Yeah. We might change the month up itself, but... Generally, so the plan was, it started at like Fire mid-December, so when most people are either done with their monthly matches or finishing up, and then we go to the very end of June. So versus, you know, the online webcam monthly, which is basically 3 weeks of pod play, we're giving you 6 weeks of pod play to be able to kind of, you know, get it in, you know, where you can. That was kind of the plan. So I think, you know, doing something like this, it's a little bit... I hear the description, like, it's having ice cream for dinner. So it's great, but you don't want to have
it. It's nice every once in a while, maybe. Try it
out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is great. All this breakout, like, tweaks or iterations of the format. Like, I know Carlos is doing his Fair Premodern, and I see other people trying out different stuff. It's like, it's super fun. And BK's Necrosummer, obviously. It's super fun to, like, for one tournament, just do this, like, crazy. Mm. Jared Doucette has also done, like, what, unbanned fetchlands. I know Flippy has done some pre-modern Unchained, where every banned card was restricted instead. And, like, it's super cool to just, for one tournament, do something different.
Yeah, it definitely shakes things up, you know, because especially we're coming up on, I mean, this is my 4-year anniversary of playing pre-modern this month.
Oh. Nice.
And so, I mean, a lot of us have been playing the format for several years at this point. And, you know, occasionally people will grumble. There's always going to be those people who grumble. I mean, when people, you know, ask me, like, what should be unbanned, you know, because I've done a couple of these things type now. Well, nothing needs to be unbanned, you know, from the core, like, pre-modern format. But, you know, it's always fun to do these kind of variation events. And it can, you know, just give you a different experience of Magic, while not changing the entire card pool. Yeah. I think that's what a lot of us old fogies like, is we like our fixed card pools and not having anything change too much. But yeah, it definitely gives you a different experience right there, whether, yeah, allowing you to experience more broken, you know, type Magic, you know, something closer to a Legacy or a Vintage, that type of thing. Or if you just want to go something like Fair Premodern, which is closer to kind of a standard, you know, type of... because the ban list is something like 30 additional cards, that they've done, and then added Enemy Fesh Land, so everyone's mana is kind of on the same level at that point. So yeah, it just gives you a very different environment, still something that's enjoyable, still something that's fun. It kind of refreshes your ability to just brew, because I think that's where a lot of, you know, people get frustrated with, like, the normal format is like, oh, I've done everything that I can. I can't beat this deck, you know, with what I can. And but it's like, you know, if that's a little bit frustrating for you, hey, you know, do something a little bit different. Mix it up. You don't have to do the same thing over and over again. You know.
No. And you did allow for proxies also this event, which obviously, like, makes it possible because no one is actually acquiring, I don't know, 4 Tolarian Academies, I guess.
No, definitely not. It was full proxy that was allowed. So not just like that, the banned cards themselves, but anything, because there's something, again, like if you want to play Demonic Consultation, but you want to play, it's like, hey, oh, Hatred could actually be good now. Mm. You know, you don't have to bet. I think Hatred's like around $50 or something.
Yeah, at this point. It's quite expensive. Yeah.
So you don't have to go out and buy those.
No.
I think what's missing in Premodern in these types of format is what's going on in old school. It's the point system that's really popular there. Yep. We have X points and we have different kind of, but those mostly for the restricted cards. But there's also cards like Misha's Factory in old school having some points. So you have a certain amount of points to spend. I don't know if you would spend them towards the ban list or if you would go more the fair route and spend them towards the usual suspects, quote unquote. Like,
I do think that's a good idea. And if I had more time, you know, with planning this, I might have done it. But of course, you know, this was starting up at the very end of the gauntlet, so the gauntlet was taking a lot of my time right there.
So, I was gonna say, like, you do organize quite some on the, like, 6 months period, Arnold.
Yeah.
Like, So.
Because one card I want to, you know, talk about really quickly is Grim Monolith, and in a format like this, Grim Monolith is just kind of like, well, it's still pretty much banned because you shouldn't run Grim Monolith. Yeah. You should just play Mana Vault. But yeah, if you have a point system, then it could be much more interesting to be able to consider Grim Monolith. Mm. Now, with the point system, I do think that a couple of cards not on the ban list should have some points.
Exactly.
Most notably going to be like Lion's Eye Diamond, Lotus Petal, Dark Ritual, the other fast mana, you know, of the format.
Yeah.
You could also consider the Mirage Tutors right there, Enlightened Tutor Worldly Tutor, that type of thing.
I think that's like the route that the old school, it's easier in that, like, if you're playing Vintage or Legacy or wherever, especially with the restricted formats, when you know what are the best cards in that sense. But then you also need to adhere to what you're mentioning, like a Demonic Tutor clearly becomes better if you pay points to have the Ancestral Recall or something like that. But also, if you take out the, as I mentioned earlier, like the, even a Swords to Plowshares, I don't know, whatever. If that costs 1 point, if you have 10 points, that makes more of a, like, creatures becomes better, and we don't have that many creature-based decks that, because of the good removal and the bad creatures, so there could be a lot of fun things happening if you, like, would even go that route.
So just a big shout out to the first one who like present the X point system for Premodern. Would be cool. I would definitely try to join a tournament there.
Like, we've already talked about the rules. We've gone through the hatred. I feel like we're going to have a lot of Palpatine samples here, but are we missing out on anything that we wanted to talk about, Anton?
I'm not sure. Like, other notable mentions, I guess, is like Strip Mine, Insane Card. Yeah. Did we have any Strip Mine decks?
A lot of people tried Strip Mine. It was at least three, if not four.
Okay.
And none of them made the eliminations this time.
Okay.
So, which is interesting because, of course, Flint took second last time with Strip Mine, but it's Flint.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it negates the card that says, okay, the card choice.
Yeah, but K-Run, Rafael Caron, he brought a really sweet Strip Mine deck.
Yeah.
If you guys would want to talk about that really quickly.
Yeah, sure. Shoot.
Head into it.
This is probably one of the best brews I like from the format. So it's a Root Maze Strip Mine Prison deck.
So
his main wins are going to be Black Vice and the Nimble Mongoose, which he runs four of each. And otherwise, going down the deck list, two Root Maze, four Wastelands, two Crop Rotations, four Elvish Spirit Guides, nine Forests, three Naturalize, four Spheres of Resistance, four Strip Mines, two Sylvan Libraries, two Explorations, one Deserted Temple, one Jeweled Amulet, one Zurin Orb, one Tormod's Crypt, one Mox Diamond, two Reclaim, three Guy's Blessings, four Horn of Greed, and two Quicksand.
Yeah, and for people not knowing what Root Maze does, it makes the Zurin Orb comes into play tapped, but also all the lands comes into play tapped. So artifacts and lands comes into play tapped. So I think that's a good route to go.
Like
a smart way of going about in that sense, because it's one green and an enchantment and all the artifact and land comes into play tapped. You have your it's a good threat also. It's like the Delverish Canadian Threshold way of going about, I guess. So, but more in a prison sense.
Yeah, so I just want to point out though with Root Maze, it's universal, so everyone's lands and stuff, you know, come into play tapped. But K-Run is running a Deserted Temple, which can untap a land. So he plays a Strip Mine, then untaps it, and then Strip Mines the land you just played.
Kind of cute.
Guy's Blessings and reclaims, you know, these lands back.
K-Run is a very creative brewer.
I'm on a never-ending meme war with some of the Americans about Strip Mines, since it's restricted in old school, and they love having their Strip Mines. Someone mentioning, like, they're I don't remember who did it, some Eric Martin maybe did a 75 card Strip Mine deck, like with Antiquity Strip Mine. So I'm like, how do you win? I was like, Strip Mine is a win comp. And in the
Dingus
old
egg,
school, Dingus Egg, maybe. But Strip Mine is a win con, but you probably need a Mongoose at least.
Yeah,
but that's neat. And that was probably the best way to go about it. Well, what other ways was it just like regular tempo, the other ones, or?
One was just it was a pretty standard Terra Oath Ponza type deck with Strip Mine. This is one of those submissions though where I didn't get the full deck list at this point.
Okay.
So I don't have that. Let's take a look at one of the other ones, because I've got a few others. Or maybe I think I just have the one K runs right there. Okay. So, but yeah, that was really sweet, and would definitely recommend, you know, brewing in this kind of space, because it just opens up some other possibilities which you're not going to be able to do. So,
yeah, I want to talk a little bit about like the expectations when we sat down and you played like versus an opponent, and it's like the first card they play, it's like, your head goes like, shit, what does this mean? Like, which card is the unbanned card? So, like, when I played Antoine, and he played, like, turn one, Ancient Tomb into, like, Mind Stone as well, I was like, shit, it's either Strip Mine, Toloran Academy, or, like, Mana Vault here. Like, it can be anyone, and, like, this changes so much on how I need to approach the deck, and, like, even versus you, Mike, you went, like, I don't know, swamp something. It's like, yeah. Oh, is it like...
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Is it like vampiric? Is it demonic? Is it like necropotence? What is it? Jorgen's Wheel, it's super fun because it's like really... yeah, it adds nuance to your premodern experience.
I think most of us would have like reckoned necro, right? Like,
yeah.
No, knowing like, me, that's not a bad guess. Of course.
Like, because, yeah, Dark Ritual's free, so where do we go from there? It's like, no, we're playing Hatred.
Yeah, because I remember like playing versus Fluffy, and he started like at turn one Helm of Obedience. Helm of Awakening, sorry. And I was like, shit, I can just dump my whole hand. But then I was like, wait, is he flash rectoring? Will I just lose? Or is he like, is he doing tendrils? Or what's up? Like, if it's flash rector, I will just lose. But if it's bargain, which I thought it was, then I would have to like circumvent this. And yeah, it was cool. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it definitely like expands like the possibilities.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not like an alien format where you don't know what's going on. You just more options which are available to you. So it's still that same experience of Magic where you're going up against unknown information. You just have to kind of read based off of what your opponent gives you. There is a limited number of possibilities that they can be doing, but that number, you know, with this type of format is more than you'll get in standard pre-modern.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And like what the fun part what you're mentioning, Anton, is like the you went that right. I thought about that also. Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, and like the post match talk also with every player, like, okay. Oh my god, your deck was so cool, and like, yeah, this was a great match. Uh-huh. And like, how did you how did you come up with this approach, and what did you end up with? And like, yeah, it was very nice experience.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, nice to have you on again, Mike. More black dark deck thingies from you, but combo-ish once again. So you managed to, I don't know where we're going from there. What's happening in the future for you, Michael? Are there
not too much. I'm about to get into my busy season here. So the reason why I'm able to do these organizations, you know, in this October through January time is just because my work schedule, I am very, very busy. Specifically, June through August, I'm just, yeah. We'll see if I get the webcam monthlies in this year or not.
But, I'm super busy June to August also.
Yeah.
Being free, not doing anything at all. Yeah, how about you, Anton?
For me, it's like NoobCon Easter weekend is coming up.
Yeah,
Premodern Eastern Championship, and that's about it. Then it's just work for me.
Like, I think you're mentioning it off stream, or like off, it's not stream, but before we started recording, that you're probably it's going to be live-ish, I guess. Also.
Yeah. We will. I mean, obviously, WAC will cover NoobCon, so Gordon and MG will do that this year, and the day after me and.
So that's Saturday.
Saturday we will do via Mindstage, the organizer of the Easter Championship. We will do like a coverage, so it will be a lot of hours of sober pre-modern stream, I guess.
They've done
sober
it.
In air quotes.
Yeah.
No, but actually, it will be sober because it's like in a gymnasium hall, so we can't drink alcohol.
No, that's more proper the day after. But Saturday, that's like, I guess. 11, 12-ish CET, somewhere around there. 10 a.m. People might check it out. Earlier streams have been on YouTube, but people can probably check out your... Are you doing X or Twitter or anything like that, Anton? Where can people find it?
No, I do not tweet. But yeah, I will share on Facebook and Discord and... Svenska Magic and other social platforms, I guess. But
the pre-modern Facebook page, if people want to link to the stream,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that is cool. That will be my last magic effort for quite some time. Then it's just finishing my thesis and work a whole summer and the spring. So I might have to do a little less Monster of the Week. Might be so the upcoming months, but
it's okay. Yeah. I'm as I mentioned, I'm going on a long holiday to my country house later on. So we'll probably manage to squeeze something in before that, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure.
What was I thinking about? Yeah, we're heading into that, and hopefully people will check it out. Good to have you on, Mike. And
did you have a brew that or screw that planned band edition?
Fuck, I didn't even consider that, because we did Brew That or Screw That with you last time, so...
Yes, but we could talk about this other format now.
Yeah.
If you have access to...
But we kind of did Brew That or Screw That in this episode, right?
Yeah.
With all these new cool cards. But, definitely, we should have prepared that for the, like, rebirth, playing Ant...
or you could just talk about, like, other cards which, normal
in this
legal
format.
Cards.
Yeah.
Normal legal cards, which get a lot better with access to ban cards.
Like Food Chain, for instance. For sure. Yeah. So, last question, though. Seb, if you were to enter this tournament, which banned card would you have brewed with?
I don't know. I kind of got more into that strip mine area there. I don't know.
Use the strip mine.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't own power, I do enjoy four strip formats.
Yeah. What would you like to do otherwise? Yeah. I think, or maybe a Force of Will. Maybe I will go for something more Delver-ish. I don't know. Force of Will, Strip Mine, something boring in that sense. There's
four
a lot of
control
cool
with Brainstorm.
Yeah. Brainstorm. Yeah. Brainstorm. Yeah, why not? But the Channel Fireball sounded cool also. I don't think Mind Twist is that good, but maybe trying to do that. I don't know. Something weird.
Yeah.
Something weird or something super like just basic.
But this is the fun part. Like there's so many I brewed Mind Twist in elves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, that's where you put Mind Twist, like Virtual Rangers and Crop Rotations and Mind Twist. And
I think
you
it's
all the mana.
Very unexpected, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that was my idea too, but I didn't went through with it. But and you need to throw this event again, Arnold. Let's just put it like that.
I'll be playing.
We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, congrats on winning your own tournament, we should also state.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had a brief chat before recording, but yeah, you did the thing you should not do, win your own tournament. Yeah. But once in a while, I guess you're allowed.
Yeah, it happens.
I think for this tournament, it's appropriate since it's an unban whatever tournament, so good.
Yeah, Arnold clearly he had a thought out, like, how would the meta look? And, like, yeah, bringing just 2/2 zombies is probably good enough. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
And
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
No, it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can.